Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Genesis. Genesis 12, 1 through 4, and the A is for the first half of the verse. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Our next scripture comes from the letter to the church in Rome, Romans 4, 1 through 5, and then continuing on at 13. Through 17. Hear the word of the Lord. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him, who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us. As it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations," in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Mighty and gracious God, we hear your word and it lights our path as we set forth in this world to serve you. Guide the meditations of our minds and our hearts as we consider what you are saying to us, how you are leading us, and what peace you bring to us through your word. Be with us this day, O Lord. Amen. In our scripture today, Paul uses one person's relationship with God to teach the believers in the church in Rome about God, justification, and righteousness. It might seem a bit strange that of all of the people in scripture, he would settle on or choose Abraham. After all, people, especially us Protestant Christians, tend to look at David or Paul himself as an example. Sometimes people choose Peter, but the problem is that's not how Paul rolls here. Paul chooses Abraham for a reason. And when you see that reason, it helps navigate and negotiate how things are moving forward. Because Abraham is chosen for a reason. Is he the first in a long line? No, and yes. Because remember, Adam came before him. And then Noah comes before him. But Abraham was that ancestor that all of the Israelites would look to, would look back on and say, "I am a descendant of Abraham. I would identify myself by Abraham, and then the descendants of Abraham. But it all began in that faithful covenant relationship between Abraham and God. Not necessarily the Gentile believers, but even they would have navigated through Abraham from that original covenantal moment where Abraham stands before God and God calls him and brings him to the land of Canaan. There is a relationship between Adam and God, between Noah and God, between even David and God, but the ancestor was Abraham. And so Paul chooses Abraham for that very reason, because people will relate to the beginning there, to that beginning of relationship. After all, Isaac and Jacob, Judah, Simeon, all base their ancestry with Abraham. Abraham also causes Paul to be attacked. People would say, "This is heretical, what you're teaching. You're teaching things about this Jesus and faith and law and grace. You have to stop." But what Paul says is, no, I am not teaching anything new, but I am in fact teaching something that goes back to Abraham. It's as old as your oldest ancestor that you identify with. I am not teaching heresy, I'm merely teaching. You just haven't been listening since Abraham. Which probably didn't necessarily get him more popular. Paul chooses Abraham for that reason. Now, even Gentiles could relate to Abraham. No, they wouldn't have identified him as an ancestor and thought of themselves as somehow descended from the 12 tribes. But Abraham is an average person. He's not 4 feet across. He doesn't have shoulders 4 feet wide. He's not the size of Goliath tromping around, this great guy. He is an average individual. He is average. And we can relate to that averageness. Think about it. God comes to Abraham. And we know nothing of Abraham before that. Imagine. Read your Bible. There is nothing about Abraham before this moment except to tell you who his ancestors were. It tells you nothing of the man. All we know about him is what happens after God calls him, after God initially initiates that relationship with him. We know that he started out in Ur with his father, Haran, his nephew, Lot. We can read that he is descended from Shem, the son of Noah, and that's it. All we know after is about what he does to faithfully follow God. There is no backstory for Abraham until after God calls him. Think about that. It's as if Abraham doesn't matter until God calls him. His life before doesn't matter until God calls him. God chose him. And the reasons he was who he was didn't matter. God didn't choose him because he was 6 feet 8 inches with huge shoulders. God didn't choose him because he was a great speaker. God didn't choose him because he was rich or rich in spirit. God just chose him. And we don't know God's reasons. All we know is how he responded to that call. All we know is what happens after that moment. Now, Paul gets a little dry and mathematical here, where he spells out that relationship between Abraham and God. If he was righteous before, if he was a righteous man before, then God chose him because of that righteousness. And in essence, he had earned that position from God. He had earned, as one earns wages, sort of a tally sheet, so to speak, of righteousness. But instead, God's love comes to him, and he responds in faith. Abram didn't earn it. He was called and then was faithful and followed. One of the problems is that simple idea that Paul puts forward of earning it. Earning it. Think about this. Can you ever truly earn righteousness? Can you ever truly earn your salvation? Or is it a gift from God? Is it a gift? And we faithfully from there follow. The idea of earning it stuck with me all week. As I drove the kids to school, it's in the back of my head like one of those thoughts that constantly is popping up. As I walked to pick Liam up at school, it's rattling around, and I couldn't shake it. And then I started thinking of a moment of earning it. How many of you have seen the movie Saving Private Ryan? Okay, if you haven't seen it, I'm sorry. There are going to be spoilers. Because there's this great moment in that movie of one line of earn it. One line spoken, more whispered, earn it. The statement comes at the end of the movie. Now the plot is that a captain serving in the post time after D-Day and even of D-Day is tasked with finding one James Ryan. Now, his unit search, several of the group are killed. At the end, most of them have been killed. And finally, Private Ryan is called over to Captain Miller. Now, this man's unit was destroyed in an effort to save Private Ryan, in an effort to bring him home to his mother. And Captain Miller, sitting there, dying, whispers to Private Ryan, earn this. Earn this. Then we fast forward many years to a cemetery. And we see the now aged Private Ryan standing there, talking to Captain Miller's grave, and wondering, has he earned it? Had he earned that sacrifice of those men? You can see through the beauty of movie magic the weight that he has carried of seeking every moment of every day to try and earn it. He speaks to Captain Miller's grave and says, I have lived every day of my life trying. Wondering. Finally, he turns to his family with tears in his eyes, breaking down over this idea of earning it. You can see the weight of that burden, that weight of earning it, the weight that he carried every day of not being able to live up to that sacrifice, the fear, the regret of every decision he had made throughout his life as he sought to earn it. And like Saving Private Ryan's question of, have I earned it? Did I earn it? Paul puts forward the idea of, can we earn it? Is it possible for us to earn our justification? Or do we perhaps understand that we can't, but have to try and work in gratefulness towards it? The basic question is, can we ever, acknowledging who we are as sinners, who we are as imperfect people, can we ever truly earn it? The answer is no. But the beauty is that doesn't matter, because we are not earning it. It's not wages to be worked at and earned. What it is a gift, a beautiful gift from God. And we need to respond to that gift. That's where work comes. Because of what God has done, we seek to try, not to earn it, but to respond in gratitude, to respond in appreciation for what has been done, for what has been given this great gift. And the beauty is that the main actor in this is not us. It is God. Because if it were up to us, we would continually and always fall short. We would continue and always not live up to what we could. But just because we will fall short doesn't mean we aren't going to and shouldn't respond. Just because God has done this, and this is a great gift for us, doesn't mean that we do not respond to it, that we don't sit around and do nothing. Think about it. What is one of the most basic things you teach a child at birthdays, at Christmas? When someone gives you a gift, what do you say? Sometimes it's like pulling teeth. But you teach that child to say what? And that is how we are to live thanking God through our lives, through our worship, through everything we do. We are responding as thank you to God for what God has done for us, for what God has given to us. Will we ever earn it? Thanks be to God, we don't have to, because God has given us a gift. And all we need to do is respond in gratitude and in faithfulness. Brothers and sisters, He has shown us what to do. Now let's get our feet moving, our hands moving, and go and do it. Amen. At this time, let us respond to the many blessings from our